Well, tonight we're going to turn in the scriptures to the second book of Peter. Second Peter and chapter 3. And we will read verses 11 through 18. And I would comment that here you have, as it were, the final remarks, summary remarks by the Apostle Peter to these that he has been writing, a people that were beleaguered, people that were onset by false teachers and harmful opposition, those that saw themselves, as it were, in the very teeth of the lion. And so Peter comes to the end of it all, and he summarizes by the words that we have at the end of chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This evening I want us to think briefly on the encouragement of Peter to these people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So with that in mind, we're taking as our text that 18th verse. But before we go any further, let us just ask the Lord to bless the word for us tonight. Father, now we pray that you will let us know the help of the Holy Ghost, and may we find ourselves being drawn to the feet of the Lord Jesus. May we find our hearts drawn out. May we find our minds open. May we find our faith fanned. And may we find, O God, that the truth of the Lord is that which comes to our hearts and causes us to be able to live for Jesus. Lord, I pray now that thou will undertake, bless, and guide through the time that we have in thy word tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Again, as I mentioned to you, 2 Peter is in many ways a book of warnings. Peter goes over and over again and again how there is a need for the people of God to be on their watch. Not only because the devil is at work, but also those who are influenced by the flesh, influenced by falsehood, influenced by their own pride, are also at work seeking to deceive the people of God. Beware of the dogs. Beware of those that are against the truth. False teachers abound. And beyond that, there is going to be known opposition. There is going to be known a time of hardship, a time in which there will be the need to stand fast, even though it seems like it's impossible to do so. So he's offering these words to them to beware. But at the end of it all, you have even a father-like statement that encourages them as to how they can fulfill what he says to them in verse 17, that they beware lest they fall from their steadfastness. There is something that is given of God. There is something that can be done in the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause the people of God to be able to continue to stand and to go on with God. And he gives that answer there in verse 18. You are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Learn about the Lord Jesus. Keep your mind upon him. Let him be the center of all your thinking. But more than that, seek to grow in your knowledge of who he is. I say that that is a tremendous encouragement. That is an important encouragement. That is vital to the church of God. We are to be a people that do follow closely that admonition. My point this evening is to think, what is the reason that that is so important? Why is it that that is such an effectual thing? Why is it that filling your mind with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as he is revealed to you by the Spirit of God and the Word, why is that so helpful and upholding? Well, I want us to think about this, and I've got just a few brief points that I want you to see with me. The first of which is simply this. I want, taking the words of Peter, to see what is the goal of it. To grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. What is the goal of it? Well, for those that are in the time of need, those who are in the times that we have to say are hard, there is something that we find given to us that is in the growing of the knowledge of Christ that is indispensable. For in learning of the Lord Jesus, we find that all the helps of God, all the graces that flow from our Savior, are discerned in the person of the Lord Jesus. Every help that you're ever going to have, every upholding, every grace and every mercy that you're going to know, you're going to know because of the Lord Jesus and through the Lord Jesus. And because of that simple fact, it is then your place, it behooves you then to learn about him. If I know that something is the only place where I will ever know good, that I'll ever have a help for my soul or help for my mind, that would be the place that I would give all the attention. There's the answer. Yes. We are to be those who give ourselves to the seeking of the Lord Jesus and knowing of him, because it helps us to see and know where all our help and grace comes from. Indeed, Paul mentions the same sort of thing in Colossians chapter 2. He mentions that in the Lord Jesus resides all the fullness of God. Well, that simply is an indication to us that everything that God would ever let man know as a good that would be for his own soul is found in the Lord Jesus. Everything that man would ever find out about the glory of God, anything that man would find out about the power of God, all things that have to do with God being revealed to sinful man is found in the Lord Jesus. And therefore, because of this one simple fact, we would find that it would do us the best service to seek after the face of Christ. So I say the good of it is that all helps that we have, that we'll ever see or know, flows from the Lord Jesus. There's the good of it. Well, I want us to see, secondly, the goal of it. Why is it that we should grow? Why is it? You say, well, because you need the help. Yes, but there's a little bit more specific reason that's stated by Peter. In verse 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That would indicate to us then that the desire of the Lord is made known to his people. That he has a desire for us to not only know the peace of God that passeth understanding, but that we are also to be a people that are without spot and blameless. Well, how is that going to happen? In the light of all these who would seek to trip us up, in the light of all these false deceivers who would seek to lay a snare for us, in the light of all the opposition that we have for our souls, how is it that we're going to know this ability to be blameless and without spot in the world? It comes with a mind and heart that's filled with Christ. When your mind is filled with the Lord Jesus, you'll find that the effect of it is that you're able to know the peace of God, and you will be able to walk in that way that leaves you without the spotting of the world. That, I say, is the goal of it, that you might be separated unto Christ, that you might be a holy people, a peculiar people, a people that are given to Christ, a people that are useful for Christ, a people that are different from the world in such a way that the world sees and marvels. Yes, there's a desire for the Lord of the Lord Jesus for his people to be so different that it causes the world to look and see that there is in fact something unique about the people of God. There's something peculiar about us. But that only is ever seen and known and achieved within us as we know Christ. Not know ourselves, not know things or methods, but know the person of Christ himself. There's the goal of it. Which also brings me then as a subsequent thought to this. And there's this point number three. We notice the gospel of it. You say, well, that's not really a parallel thought to what you're saying. You're losing out on your formulation of your structure, your sermon here. But I'm not worried about that part. I want you to see, though, that there's a word here that says to us that when we are filled with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, it does two things. First, it brings to us the joy of our salvation, but also it brings us to the place where we are able to savor and to share the things of Christ. Quite unlike those that Peter describes in the earlier verses of this particular epistle. Unlike those false teachers, unlike those self-serving ones, those ones who are the ones who would gather a following after their own names, so far distant from that is the man who fills his mind with the Lord Jesus and comes to know the Lord personally and is experiencing the glories of Christ in his own heart. It makes him useful for the sake of the gospel. And that, I say, is something that you and I ought to aspire to, ought to desire the Lord to do within us. It's a work that causes us to be servants that are good for the gospel's sake. Well, I come to a fourth thing. And I want us to see what I'm calling the glory of it. The glory of it. knowing the Lord Jesus, coming to the knowledge of His grace and His goodness and His person, there's a glory in it. Indeed, I say the glory, much of the glory that the Lord Jesus works out for Himself comes through the working of His Spirit in His people. The Lord Jesus is glorified through the work of His people. Now, you and I might say, well, I don't know how that could ever be, how the Lord could ever use somebody like me for His glory. Well, He does. However, the point that I really am trying to put forward to you is this, that the glory that I'm speaking of is the same thing that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he mentions and makes the statement, let him that glory, glory in the Lord. Our glory, that which is to us glorious, is only ever attached to the person of Christ. As He is lifted up, as He is known, as He is loved, to those who are truly Christ's, that is glory to us. Much is the sentiment here the same as John the Baptist says, when he was grilled by the Pharisees, those false teachers who came and demanded him to declare who he was, and he had to say, I am not the one that you're claiming or saying that I am. I am not him. I am but the friend of the bridegroom. But when the bridegroom has the bride, then the friend rejoices. That is the glory of those that are the servants of the Lord. Our glory. And oh, that we would see more of this. That which really is glorious to the people of God is seeing the Lord Jesus uplifted. And as those who would see that, it is our place to grow in the knowledge of Christ. That is done, of course, as we walk with Him, as we spend time with Him, as we seek Him in the Word, as we seek Him in the place of prayer. Our glory is the uplifted Christ. So, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that that might be your place and your glory. Well, I have another point. I want us to understand what I'm calling the gift of it. The gift of it. Knowing the Lord Jesus, growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ is a gift. A knowledge of Christ never comes without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus tells us He sends the Spirit of God to do that particular ministry that allows His people to enter into the knowledge of Christ. He'll remind you of the things that I said. He'll lead you to the truth that I presented. He'll uplift my name. He'll point out to you who I am and what I have done. Oh, may we understand that this knowledge that of which we can grow is a gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we might even say it's a gift of the Lord Jesus Himself. It is a gift to us to grow in the knowledge of Christ. In fact, we might even think of it as a wedding gift. A wedding gift to those that He loves. He will allow us to know Him. He will allow us to see Him. He will allow us to hear Him. He will have His words in our hearts. That is a gift from above. That gift of the knowledge and the sight of Christ is that which brings full glory and joy to those that are in Christ. May we understand that. It is not something that we're just told to do as a principle. Here's a duty. Go out and do it. Oh, may we understand that growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ is a gift that comes from the hand of God to those that He loves for the purpose of rejoicing their hearts and building them up in the faith and enabling them to continue in their steadfastness, both in faith, believing, but also in their ability to work for the sake of Christ. Well, then we come to the last thought. And I know, again, I probably fall down when it comes to good structure for my message, because I'm taking a word that probably could never be used here, except the fact that I'm going to use it. I want us to see the gold of it. You say, well, gold is not really something that would fit what you're trying to... Oh, yeah, it is. Because I'm saying to you that growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ is a precious thing. It is a thing without worth, or without measure of its worth. It is precious for us to know Christ. And I say, as we come to know Christ, that is a knowledge that lasts for eternity. It is that which lightens the day in which I am right now. As I find myself going on with Christ, learning about Him, having Him commune with me, having Him manifest Himself to me, as John 14 says, I find that that is a precious thing that there is no price for. I don't know whether you read the Spurgeon's morning by morning clip that we put in the bulletin today, but he speaks of this. He speaks of the Lord Jesus revealing Himself and what it does for the church, what it does for the individual, what it does for the sake of Christ generally. That it is a precious thing that leads men to places where they would say, this is just glory on earth. To experience the person of Christ is precious as gold. Peter is saying to us very simply, here is the ultimate, not duty, but privilege. It is the help. It is the upholder of the people of God that they look to the Lord Jesus, they learn of Him, they learn of His graces that are applied through the Spirit of God, and it finds that it produces that work in them that allows them to fulfill what's being said in verse 14, that they might be found of Him. Who's Him? The Lord Jesus, in peace, without spot and blameless. A very important lesson for us, an important calling to us. This is what we are to be doing. And if we're not doing this, then we are losing out on what the Lord intends for us as His people. Well, may the Lord bless His word. May the Lord allow it to be that which guides us and helps us for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we now pray that You will bless the Word of God. We pray that You will allow it to be used in our hearts and minds to draw us, to teach us, but Lord, to cause us to be changed. Lord, we confess to Thee that we are so taken up with things that are of no account that we often forget that for us, our place is to learn about the grace of the Lord Jesus and the glory of His person. Lord, help us. And Lord, may we see its effects in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.